Hallelujah. The devil wants you to be bitter over some things that happened. And you don't know the answer, but I want you to know tonight that God is love and He cares.
Yes, He is.
Praise God. He's a wonderful God. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu. I'm going to start over. Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Xi, Omicron, Pi, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Upsilon, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm working on the Hebrew, too. I got the first and the last already. He is the Aleph, and He's the Tav. He's the beginning, and He's the ending. He's the A, and He's the Z. Hallelujah tonight. We serve an awesome God. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a great church. Come on, Brother Grissom. God is good. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I was there when Brother Neil couldn't remember much. He couldn't get anything quite straight. His memory was kind of like a bowl of spaghetti. You didn't know where one thing ended and another started. So He's doing tremendous tonight, and it's all a testimony to the healing of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so I'm very thankful for what God's doing. He's in a restoring process in His life, and Brother Robbie tonight, and your life as well. Amen. These men have come from a very long way. Amen. And God's good. Praise the Lord. You know, they called yesterday and didn't think that Sister Gibbons' husband would make it through the day, but he did. Amen. He's still making it, and he's done that before. Because we have a God that answers prayer.
Yes, He does.
And Sister Gibbons is a praying woman and a lady of faith. So I'm just telling you today that man can say what they want to say, and then but they haven't really said anything until God said what He wants to say. And until He gets through speaking, nothing else really matters. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Ewing wrote a song, said, "Storms don't decide how long they'll stay. When the Master says enough, they just go away." Amen. Storms can rise, but they don't decide how long they'll stay. God deals in all that.
Yes,
I'm glad He does, aren't you?
Yes.
Amen. I appreciate you. Amen. So we're going to join Brother Bacon and the youth on Friday. If you can possibly be here, you need to be here. Amen. I agree with Brother Bacon. If you don't pray when you fast, it's just kind of like a strenuous diet. Doesn't accomplish a whole lot. Amen. But the Bible said fasting, prayer, and fasting. There are some things that are only accomplished by prayer and fasting. Prayer is effective, but sometimes coupled with fasting, it pushes faith to another realm. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Appreciate everybody. Good to see you. Glad you're here. Amen. Good to have Adrian here tonight. Good to meet you. Glad you're here. All of our folks. Glad to see our brother and sister here tonight. God bless you. Amen. Glad you're here, everybody. Thank you. Okay, so let's go ahead and let our classes assemble. Kids can, and upper room youth. Amen. And then all the adults, you're going to stay here with us more than conquerors. Amen. You know, our youth department is called Pentecostal Conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. Amen. We're more than that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
The Bible said that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. How can you be more than a conqueror? Well, that means that you won the fight and you didn't even have to fight. That's being more than a conqueror. The fight was won for you. The victory was won for you. And the Bible said, this is our victory, even our faith. Amen. I'm going to teach tonight on this subject, why faith may fail. Why faith may fail. And it's important that we learn some things about our faith. From the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I want you to notice those words, that thy faith fail not. The Lord said, I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. Amen. Faith sometimes does fail. You don't have to be around a long time to see that happen. It's sad. It's tragic. It's a travesty. But sometimes faith fails. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Faith is an important part of the Christian life. Hebrews 11 and verse 1 tells us what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something that you get a hold of, even whenever it's just a hope at that point. And faith is an evidence of something that you know you cannot see, but you are going to receive. And faith, just out of that abstract, lays hold on the concrete and says, this is going to come to pass. It has faith. It holds on. It sees what the physical eye cannot see. It believes in spite of outside circumstances. And then in the third verse of this same chapter, the scripture said, through faith we understand. Everybody say, through faith we understand. There are some things that you'll never understand any other way but through faith. There are some things that you'll never be able to explain with words. You'll never have the vocabulary to do it. But there's something about faith that you just understand. You just know. This is the element that is so important to us. People say, well, how can you believe in God? Well, it makes sense. It's the only way that I can understand. And so I understand by faith. Faith is, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him, that is God. For he that cometh to God, obviously, must believe that he is. I mean, how are you going to come to God if you don't believe there is a God? And then he said, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you also need to believe that not only is there a God, but that he's going to reward you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that our detractors
and the doubters say that we believe in pie in the sky by and by. Amen. Well, that's all right. I believe that there's something better on the other side. How about you? Anybody believe that tonight? I believe that when I die, life is just beginning. I believe that the best is yet to come. And we can live our life that way. Praise the Lord. And so faith is vital to us. It's vital for us. Everybody needs faith. Now, when I say faith, I'm talking about faith in God. Some people have more faith in Ford Motor Company than they do in Jesus Christ. Because when they get in their car and turn the key, they expect it to start. They have faith. And if it doesn't start, their faith fails. Some people have more faith in Texas utilities than they do in faith. They flip on a light switch, they expect the light to come on. They got faith that that's going to happen. If I had a flashlight up here tonight, I'd ask you if you believe it would turn on. And most of you would probably say, yeah, I believe that, Brother Grissom. I think you got enough sense to put batteries in it before you get up there and make a fool of yourself. So, you know, we'd all have faith that the flashlight was going to come on. It's okay to have faith in all those things. You should. Amen. If your car doesn't start any more than that, you probably need another car. Amen. And if your lights don't come on, you might check the date on your last bill and make sure that it was paid. Amen. But our faith, we have faith in a lot of things. Amen. But it's vital tonight that we have faith in God and that that faith not fail. I say that tonight because Jesus presented that to us through his conversation with Peter when he said, I prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. He told him, Simon, he said, Satan has desired you. And let me tell you, he's after you too. Amen. He said he wants to sift you like wheat. Amen. He wants to run you through the ringer. Amen. He wants to wring everything good out of you. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith not fail. And guess what? It didn't. Amen. Peter found some faith. And he turned his life all around. Jesus in the book of Mark chapter 4 and verse 40, after he had calmed a storm in the middle of the sea, he said to his disciples, he said, why are you so fearful? And it's almost like he couldn't believe. He said, how is it that you have no faith? It was hard for the Lord to understand how they couldn't have faith. Amen. Have you ever found yourself wondering why people can't have faith? I think I have. I don't understand. Really, I have a hard time comprehending why people can't believe in God. I do. It's hard for me to understand why people don't believe, because it just seems it's normal and easy and reasonable. But he was a little upset with his disciples. He said, how is it that you have no faith? I mean, I guess I get the point. When you've raised dead people with your voice and you've healed blind eyes and lame limbs and unstopped deaf ears and caused mute tongues to speak and done miracles over nature and miracles over death and miracles over sickness, I guess I could understand why he might be a little frustrated. Say, what you been doing? Sleeping? Get a hold of this. Amen. And then Luke chapter 18 verse 8, he says this. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Lord was concerned that in the end time, he said, when I get back here, is there even going to be any faith on the earth at all? I'd like to answer that question tonight in the positive. How about you?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to say, Jesus, I want you to know tonight that I believe in you. Hallelujah. I believe who you are. I believe what you say. I believe that you can do anything. Yes, when you come, there's going to be faith on the earth. Amen. But you see, his concern. You see, the Lord came and gave everything he had to this. He didn't reserve anything. Literally gave his blood. He gave his life. He put it in the hands of 12 men. Fishermen. A tax collector, for goodness sakes. Amen. 12 men. And he put it in their hands. His entire enterprise. He said, I'm going. And it's up to you now. I could see how he might be a little nervous. Amen. Can you shake your head like this right here? Let me know if you're awake. Or if you're sleeping, nod too. He put it all in their hands. Legend says that when he got back to heaven, the angel said, Lord, what about your church? He said, I left it in the hands of 12 men. And they said, what if they fail? And according to the legend, he said, I have no other plan. This is it. I put all of my eggs in one basket. I gave everything I had to this church. This is it. Amen. Hey, I want you to know something tonight. God put a lot of confidence in you and me. God put a lot of faith in us tonight. God is depending on us tonight to carry this thing through. He doesn't want us to drop the ball here in the last quarter, in the last minutes of the game. But he's saying, you get a hold of this and you hang on to this and you carry it all the way through. Amen. Oh, ye of little faith. Amen. Remember when Peter was walking on the water, and we got to give him credit. Most people would never have even gotten out of the boat. So don't you be criticizing Peter till you get out of the boat. At least he did that. I know he got a little distracted. It's hard not to sometimes when you're doing something like walking on water. Something that no other man beside Jesus Christ had ever done before. And yeah, he got a little distracted. He saw the waves and they were boisterous. And he thought, what in the world am I doing? People can't walk on water. Well, I agree with him. And I don't believe Peter was walking on the water. I believe he was walking on the Word. When Jesus said, come, he wasn't worried about the water. He just stepped out on that one Word. And hear me today. The Word won't fail you. If you have enough a proper understanding of God and you've heard the voice of the Lord, His Word will not fail you. Now, if you had a pizza dream, it'll fail. That's right. If you just, you know, get lifted up in yourself and your own spirituality, you'll fail. But if it's the Word of God and the Lord said, He'll not fail you. I get a little concerned sometimes about these guys that call themselves prophets. And they say, well, you know, we're wrong sometimes. In the Bible, they would have stoned you. And you just would have got one shot at it. Matter of fact, the Bible said God got real upset with some people because they said the Lord said, and he said, I didn't say. God doesn't like it when you put words in his mouth. So if you say the Lord said, he better have said. And you hear me. If God said it, it will come to pass. He hasn't failed not one time. He said, my word will not return void unto me, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. Amen. So Peter stepped out on the word of the Lord, but then he got his eyes off and got distracted. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Can't you hear a little disappointment there? He thought he had somebody that really got it. And he was a little disappointed because Peter was doing so good, doing the extraordinary. And he went on and did great. This is not a criticism tonight. Like I said, he did get out of the boat. He did go a lot further than I've ever been. But then again, I've never had the Lord tell me to get out of the boat either. And in fact, he told me to stay in it. All right. Amen. And so, it's important then that our faith not fail. Amen. And so, let me give you some reasons tonight about why faith fails. Paul wrote to the Galatian church, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So he said, first of all, he said, if an angel preaches it, let him be accursed. He said, if some man changes it, let him be accursed. And then he went on to say, and if I change it, let me be accursed. Hear me today. You receive the gospel of Christ, stick with it. Some people's faith fails because of false teachers. One of the signs of the end times, Bible said they would heap unto themselves teachers, false teachers, because they have itching ears and will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. They want somebody to teach them something new and exciting. They don't want the gospel. Amen. They want to hear something new, something exciting, something modern. Amen. But this doesn't change, folks. You know, principles do not change. They're always the same. The law of gravity has not changed since God invented it. Now you can challenge the law of gravity, but I promise you won't break it. You can get your crowd together and say, I'm gonna break the law of gravity. And you climb up on top of this church building and say, watch, I'm gonna jump. And I'm just going to keep going up. Amen. We'll collect your shattered bones here in a little bit. Amen. You can challenge it, but you won't change it, and you won't break it. The only one that can change the law is God. It's His law. He instituted the law, and He can change the law. And He's done that from time to time. Yes, He has. I remember one time there was a guy in the middle of a battle, and the sun was going down, and he wasn't through yet. So he just somehow he got a hold of some faith somewhere, Brother Neil, and he looked up at the sun, and he said, "Son, you stand still up there." And I'm sure the angels turned and looked at God and said, "What are we going to do?" The Lord said, "Put the brakes on that, buddy." And it stopped. I mean, the whole thing shut down till he got through whipping up on his enemy. And then it started again. God can suspend laws because they are his laws. He can do that. We can't do that, but he can do that. Because God makes the laws. God controls the laws. God can slow them down. God can speed them up. God can change them entirely. It's all up to him. Because he's God. He's the law giver. But it's not our option to do that. We cannot take things out of the Word of God because we don't like them. We cannot add things to the Word of God because we think it would be better. You know, I would be honest and tell you tonight, if God had let me design things, I would have done things differently. For instance, children, I would have given them a volume control. I would have put an off button on those little buttons. I would have put a speed control so I could slow them down and speed them up. When it's time to sit down and listen, I just turn that little buddy down and say, "Now you sit there and you listen to me." And then when it's time to go to bed, you know how it is, and they're dragging their feet, just turn them up until they get in the bed, and then turn them off. But see, that would be good, wouldn't it? I mean, that's the way I see it. But God don't see it that way. He made things according to his plan. He made things his way. And we can't change that. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. As a matter of fact, he said that in his word. He said, if you take anything away from this book, or you add anything to this book, he said the curses that are in this book will be added to you. So I don't like it when people change my word. Do you? Have you ever had people add to what you said? Or take things away from what you said and make you say something you did not say? Or did not mean? It angers us. It angers God. God does not want people monkeying with his word. Leave it alone. Amen. You want to say something? Go ahead and say it, but don't accuse God. Don't say it's the word of the Lord unless it is the word of the Lord. One preacher got so carried away, he said, "What I preach is more than the truth." Well, you better back up a little, buddy. You're going too far. Just get the truth and stop. Don't add to it. So Paul said that one thing that affects people's faith is false teachers. And there are some around today. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. Amen. I know you can listen to Christian radio or watch Christian television, I guess, 24 hours a day. There's always somebody on there saying something. You better be careful, though. Got to be careful what you hear. Got to be careful what you see. Amen. You got to be careful what you read. Amen. If it feeds your faith. Now listen to me. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you have the Spirit of truth. And it will bear witness to truth. But if your Holy Ghost gets disturbed, you need to step back a little bit and examine this. I don't care, as I said the other night, if he's got oil dripping out of his fingertips and he's got a blinking red cross in his forehead. Don't make any difference how spiritual he thinks he is. He can walk on water and breathe fire. Doesn't make any difference. If he's not quoting the Word of God right and he's teaching anything contrary to what Jesus said, he's a false teacher. Write him off. Amen. Be careful, because false teachers can cause our faith to fail. It did in Galatia. Galatia had problems because they believed these false teachers. Amen. And then in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Did you know there are some people who don't have faith, at least not faith in God? Some people have faith in themselves, and they want you to have faith in them too. Yeah, that's right. Hello? I said they want you to have faith in them too. They don't want you to ever doubt anything they say. I'm going to give you an invitation right now. If I say something that I say the Bible said and the Bible didn't say it, let me know. I don't want to say something wrong. Amen. If you have a question about something I say, please do it with the right attitude, but you're welcome to come and talk with me about it. I'd welcome the opportunity. Maybe I didn't quote it right. Maybe I said it wrong. Maybe I need to clarify something. But I want to be right. How about you? I don't want to be wrong here. Amen. So it's okay if you don't understand something. Please ask. I want to be right. And so Paul said, pray for us that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because not all men have faith in God. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Drop on down to the fourth verse. He said, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." Now, when Paul founded the church in Thessalonica, almost instantly, Judaizers came in and began to challenge the faith of the newborn Christians. Immediately, they brought persecution to bear against the newborn church. And they did everything they could to destroy the gospel that Paul had preached to the Thessalonians. And when Paul had left, he was very concerned whether or not they survived that. Verse 5, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith." He said, "What I'm concerned about is your faith." He was less concerned about what they had to go through than he was about their faith. He was less concerned about whether they had to go to prison or whether they had to suffer something than he was about their faith. Amen. You can die for this gospel, but if you die in faith, it's not in vain. You can be imprisoned for this gospel, but if you're in prison and you maintain your faith, it's not in vain. You can suffer physical affliction and persecution, but if you maintain your faith, it's not in vain. But if you lose your faith, you've lost it all. So Paul said, "I'm concerned primarily about your faith." That was his number one concern. Amen. And so verse number 6, he said, "And now when Timotheus came unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." So Paul said, "I want you to stand strong in your faith. Persecution will cause some faith to fail. Some people just can't take criticism." Hello? Some people get the Holy Ghost and they leave, and somebody said, "Oh, there's nothing to what you got. You don't want to be one of them." And they can't take it, and they just fall. Some people's faith is destroyed because they can't handle criticism. Sometimes somebody in the church will try to to help them understand something and see something clearly or correct something wrong, and they can't handle the criticism. That's right. And their faith fails. Don't you tell me nothing. And their faith fails. That's right. So Paul said because of persecutions, some people's faith fails. Amen. And then he gives us some more reasons here in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4, or excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." So seducing spirits and doctrines of devils cause some people to fail. Some people lose their faith because they're seduced by a false spirit. Amen. I knew a young man, good young man. He was doing so well. I was very excited about his spiritual growth. He got with another young man that I didn't know, and I guess he didn't know before they started this journey. And they went out in the middle of the woods somewhere, and they stayed out there fasting and praying for an extended period of time. And when he came back, he was all confused. But he didn't know he was confused. He thought I was confused. And the things that he had been taught concerning the Word of God, in that short time, he got so spiritual that he didn't have to listen to anybody. He felt like God spoke personally to him. He didn't even need the Bible. That's a seducing spirit. If you ever get more spiritual than the Word of God, you have been seduced by a false spirit. God will never, ever contradict His written Word. Ever. I don't care what kind of voice you hear. I don't care how big the angel is or how beautiful that said it. I read about a guy one time, got to messing around with angels, and he believed this angel brought him these golden tablets. And he wrote a whole new Bible. Founded a whole new religion. Seducing spirits. You be careful. You stay founded and grounded in the Word of God. Because Paul said, there are spirits that will seduce you away from the Word of God. And doctrines of devils. Amen. They don't appear to be doctrines of devils. They appear to be truth. But they're not. How do you know if it's true or not? Because if it's true, it will line up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's false. Just that simple. Just that simple. Amen. And so he said, but some will fall away. Their faith will fail. Because of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then he said some will fail because of material things. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Now, I'm just going to go out here and just say that I think that describes the prosperity doctrine. I just do. People that will judge your spirituality by how much money you have. And people that will preach to you, oh, God wants to make you rich, and all you got to do is get rich and send me some money. And if you'll send me money, then God will, he'll bless you for sending me money. And that's prosperity doctrine. God wants all of his people to be rich. And they'll quote that verse from John, that when John prayed, I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. And they think that means money, Brother Neil. That's not what that means. God has never equated spirituality with money, ever. The Jews believed that God had blessed them and they were rich, and the richer you were, that means the more spiritual you were. False. If that were true, none of the apostles and Jesus himself couldn't have gone to heaven. Didn't Jesus say that? He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He said, I don't have a house. I don't even have a tent, much less a mansion. When he left this world, he had one robe to his name. His apostles, when they went to church one time, they said, silver and gold have I none. Is that right? Do you think they were lying? I don't believe so. I believe when Peter said he didn't have any silver or gold, I believe him in it. He didn't say copper. Maybe he had a few copper cents. Amen. And they hadn't started making greenbacks yet. So what he was saying to that man, I don't have any money, but such as I do have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Hallelujah.
So he wasn't poor. Amen. But he just didn't have... So this gospel that some people preach, that, you know, God wants you to be rich. That's what God wants. No, he doesn't. He don't care. God doesn't care if you have roller skates or Rolls Royce, as long as your prosperity, priorities are right. Amen. As long as your priorities are right. You got to get it right. And so... He said, but listen closely. He said, they suppose that gain is godliness. But verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So if you're godly and content, if I say content. Godly and content. He said, that's great gain. You're wealthy if you're godly and content. He said that's what gain is. It's not your bank account. It's not what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive. I know a lot of people that got nice cars and nice houses, and they're just a heartbeat away from bankruptcy. They can't sleep, they can't eat, they can't enjoy anything. They're so troubled. Right, check your head like this right here. There's a whole world full of them. Amen. And others, you know, they don't have that, but... They hate everybody else that's got one because they're jealous. They're not happy. Hey, let's just be content. Let's just be content. Let's be thankful for what we have. Amen. Let's just take what we've got and say, God, I sure do appreciate this little house. Thank you for these wheels. Amen. And if I happen to lose one of them, please just keep the other three upright till I can get it fixed. Amen. So, godliness with contentment, he says, great gain. I love this verse 7th verse. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. I like this analogy. Have you ever seen anybody born that had pockets? I've never seen a baby that had pockets. Not one. That's when you come in here. You didn't have anything to put anything in. You didn't have anything to put in it. And when you leave here, you may have some pockets, and you may have something in your pockets, but it ain't going. It's going to stay right here. And then he said, having food and raiment. Well, that's a pretty short list, isn't it? Everybody say food and raiment. He didn't say anything about a house. He didn't say anything about a car. He didn't say anything about a donkey. He said, if you got food and you're clothed, be content. That's good news, isn't it? Don't you like that? I'm trying to teach folks how to be happy here tonight. Amen. Forget the Joneses. Keep up with Paul. Keep up with Jesus. He had food. He had one robe. Somebody loaned him a donkey. While somebody had to loan him a tomb to get buried in. He didn't use it long. Just 3 days, he said, you can have this thing. I'm out of here. Amen. But he did borrow it for 3 days. So, this is a pretty short list. Paul said, it shouldn't take much to make you happy. Now, verse 9 is awesome. But they that will be, everybody say will be. Now, he didn't say those that are rich. He said those that want to be. Some of the most miserable people I know are not rich. They just want to be. Shake your head like this right here. That is right, Brother Grissom. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of them. They want to be rich. They're not, and they are mad and miserable. They that will be rich fall into temptation and the snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Have you ever met anybody, every time you saw them, they had a gimmick going? I mean, they have sold everything under the sun. And everything they sell, this is my boat right here. This is what's going to make me rich. And the next time you see them, they're in worse shape and they're selling something else. They just can't help themselves. They want to be rich so bad. Yeah. I'm just preaching the truth here tonight. And he said, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, listen closely, they have erred from the faith. Some people got the chasing dollars and it led them away from the truth. And they never even knew when they took the exit. Got to be careful. And he said they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And so he said, you got to watch out. This prosperity business caused some people to lose their faith. One more. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which was committed to thy trust. Listen closely. Avoiding profane and vain babbling. Avoiding profane and vain babblings. Have you ever heard somebody speak and you were real, impressed with their speech? They got through speaking and you said, man, whoo, that was good. And then somebody said, what did they say? And you said, I don't know, but sure was good. I don't have an idea what they said, but it sure was good. Well, it's a chance that there was some vain and profane babbling. Amen. Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and help me hush when I said enough. And I'm really through. Avoid profane and vain babbling. And oppositions of science, get this closely, oppositions of science, falsely so called. That's the only time the word science is used in the Bible. And it's not used in a negative sense here. He said of science, falsely so called. In other words, he's not against science. The Bible's not against science. But it's against false science. It's against things that are not science, which is knowledge, but they call it knowledge. And it's not, but they call it that. And this is what we have a lot of today. We have a lot of people wanting us to believe science, but it's not. It's not proven. All they're saying is you got to take my word for it because I said so. Well, really? The Lord gave me a brain, and I want to use it. Amen. A whole lot of it, you know what it is? Vain and profane babble. I mean, they got names for stuff that don't even exist. I mean, they've got it down. I mean, they can look at a scratch on a rock and tell you what kind of dinosaur made it, tell you what year graduated, his position in the class. That's science falsely so called. They can find bones, and they can tell you how it looked from those bones, what kind of skin it had, what color it was, how it walked, how it motivated, how many brains it had, what kind of food it ate. Come on. All of that from a bunch of bones? Get real. Use your brain. Oh, but he's smart. He's got an education. He has 3 doctorates. So, you know what a PhD is, Brother Martin? Post hole digger, that's right. So no matter how many post hole diggers he's got. And you know I'm not against education. I believe in education. I don't think God's at all glorified by ignorance. Not at all. Don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid of education. Amen. Get all you can and get over it. Amen. I'm all for it. Amen. I'm all for it. My daughter's nearly a post-hole digger. I'm praying for deliverance. Amen. Real soon. But I know what it takes to get there. So I'm not knocking education or educated people. But don't ask me to believe something just because you said it. And just because somebody else said it. Amen. And they're saying, well, don't ask me to believe your book. Well, that's fine. You don't have to believe my book. But don't knock it until you tried it. Amen. And so he said, science falsely so-called vain babblings. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul, and I'm closing here, 1 Corinthians 2, and 1 through 5, he said, and I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I'm not trying to impress you with big words. Jesus used big words. Sheep, cattle, water. He used simple things, didn't he? He didn't try to confuse people, confound people, or impress people. He just wanted to teach people. He wanted to reach people. And somebody, you know, if they start using speech you can't understand, you got to kind of understand. Wonder why are you trying to confuse me here? Man. All right. And so he said, for I'm determined. Now, Paul had an education. He was a very, very educated man and an intelligent man. He said, but I didn't come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom. He said, for I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit unto power. Why is that? He said, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, I didn't want you to go around sin. Paul said, I wanted you to understand what God said and what God has done and what God can do and what God can do for you. That's the end of his preaching. He said, that's what this is all about. Amen. That's what this is all about. Amen. So he said, I don't want your faith to fail. I don't want it to fail. I want to increase it. You know, this is why we need days of fasting and prayer. I'm glad for the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost we have around here. I want to see more of it, but I'm thankful for what we do have. Praise the Lord. I like it when people shout and get lost in the Holy Ghost. I like it when we have tongues, interpretation, gifts of the Spirit in operation. That's a good thing. Amen. That's a demonstration of the power of God. I like it when the Lord heals people. Amen. I like it when God demonstrates himself. And that's what we're after. And that's what Paul said. That's what we need. I don't want your word, your faith founded on what I say. I want your faith founded on the word of God and the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's the foundation that will stand. When everything else fails, he said, that's going to stand. Amen. Jesus said to Peter, he said, I have prayed for you. Let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer never dies. The prayers that prayed for us, they're still alive, and they're still powerful, and they're still effective today. The prayers of Peter and Paul and James and John are still ringing through the heavens and effective today. The prayers that my mother prayed are still effective today, because prayer does not die. Prayer does not die. Amen. When we get to heaven, those prayers are going to be there. Hallelujah. Amen. Hear me today. Are you praying for lost loved ones? Those prayers don't die. Did your mother pray for you? Did your father pray for you? Those prayers don't die. Jesus said, Paul, or Peter, I prayed for you. And boy, it worked, didn't it? Peter was faithful all the way to the end. Paul was, wasn't he? We preached this Sister Everett's funeral Friday, but just let me recap. When Paul said from a prison cell, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You see, he's at the end of the road here. Listen to what he said. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And listen, he said, I have kept what? The faith. In other words, my faith hasn't failed. I kept my faith, and my faith kept me. Amen. Hallelujah. All the way to the end. He's right at the end of the journey, and he said, I still got faith. Body of beliefs, convictions, they have not failed me. Amen. So folks, these are some enemies you got to watch out for. Be careful of false teachers. Watch out for persecutions, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Watch out for materialism. Be careful about vain and profane babblings and science so-called. Amen. Be careful of these things. Be careful of these things. Don't let your faith fail. Be like Paul. Get a hold of it. Amen. Know what you believe, and believe it with everything you've got. Believe it with everything that you've got. Amen. Don't let go of it. Amen. I've searched the word of the Lord, and I'm convinced that that what I preach is right. I believe it. Amen. I believe it. I believe what my forefathers told me was right because it's the Word of God and I've proved it and it's there. It's right. Amen. How about you tonight? Why don't we stand together? Jesus, I want you to know that Jesus prayed for you, that your faith fail you not. He prayed for you even though you were not yet born. He prayed that you would be kept. Amen. He would pray for you that you would fight a good fight and that you would finish your course and that you would keep your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got to guard it tonight, folks. You hear me? I said you got to guard it. You got to guard your faith. It's going to be assailed. Things are going to come against you. Things are going to try to change your mind. Things are going to try to confuse you. But you got to lay hold on that faith and not let it fail. You got to say, I don't know about this. Amen. But I know about this faith business. And I'm just going to keep on holding on. And I promise you, if you'll hold on to your faith, all the rest of that stuff's going to pass on. And when it's all passed, you'll still have your faith. Praise God. Don't bind a bunch of new stuff. Amen. Just hold on to your faith. Just hold on to your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't we look to the Lord right now for a moment and let's just talk to Him, shall we, about our faith tonight. I know that we're going to be tried and tested. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But fear not, for I have overcome the world. Amen. And because you overcame, we can be overcomers also. The same Spirit that allowed you to be an overcomer and gave you resurrection power is the same Spirit that dwells in us today. It is the Spirit of truth. It knows truth. It recognizes truth. It rejoices at the truth. So Lord, I ask you to help me always to be led by the Spirit of God. Help me not to have ears, itching ears, that's just wanting to hear something different, something new, and cast off the old just because it's old. Amen. It's still true. Help me to cling to it and hold on to it even to the end of the way. In Jesus' name, I want to believe this truth because that's what's going to keep the church until you come. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. One of the largest churches in the United Pentecostal Church Organization was founded by a man that was seduced by a strange doctrine. He founded that church, and then he himself gave heed to a seducing spirit and a false doctrine. And when he tried to teach that to that church, they called him in and they said, brother, this is not what you taught us. And then they went to the word of the Lord and they said, this is what you taught us. And he said, well, this is a new doctrine. They said, no. You taught us that there is no other gospel. This is it. And so that man left that church. He went on to become a very wealthy individual. He had a ministry, became very well known in the world. Another man came and began to pastor that church. And that church thrived and grew to a couple of thousand people. It's still thriving today. Amen. But you know what I love about it? Is the fact that even though a man was led aside, that church said, no, you taught us this right here. And this is what we believe. And they still believe it today. They still believe it today. Amen. 60 years later, 70 years later, they still believe the same gospel. Nothing's changed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get your foot on the rock. Stick with it. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for your time. Amen. Remember tomorrow, service in Canton. We start at 7. We leave here at 6:20. Amen. And come along. Amen. There's room. Praise the Lord. There's room on the bus for you. So come on. Be a part of it. God bless you in Jesus' name.